Good morning, St. Luke's. Please join me in welcoming Reverend Karen Sheldon, our new interim rector, and she'll be celebrating today. Have a good Sunday.
Send out your light and your truth, that they may lead me and bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Psalm 43, verse 3.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you, in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on us, forgive us all our sins, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen.
O God, because without you we are not able to please you, mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, look graciously on the people of St. Luke's Church. Be with us in this season of transition. Walk with us and guide us that we may be genuine in our self-reflection, tireless in our commitment, patient in our discernment, loving in our communion, open in our search, and daring in our faith. We thank you for the gifts, talents, and skills with which you have blessed us. We thank you for the experiences that have brought us to this moment. Help us accept change as a gift of your direction for our journey in this transition. Instill in us a vision for our parish, that guided by your Holy Spirit, we will be united in love and joyfully accomplish this mission. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
A reading from the book of Exodus. The angel of God who was going before the Israelite army moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from in front of them and took its place behind them. It came between the army of Egypt and the army of Israel. And so the cloud was there with a darkness, and it lit up the night. One did not come near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. The Israelites went into the sea on dry ground, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went into the sea after them, all of Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and chariot drivers. At the morning watch, the Lord in the pillar of fire and cloud looked down upon the Egyptian army and threw the Egyptian army into panic. He clogged their chariot wheels so that they turned with difficulty. The Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the Israelites, for the Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and chariot drivers." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at dawn the sea returned to its normal depth. As the Egyptians fled before it, the Lord tossed the Egyptians into the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the chariot drivers, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained. But the Israelites walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great work that the Lord did against the Egyptians. So the people feared the Lord and believed in the Lord and in his servant, Moses.
Psalm 114. Hallelujah! When Israel came out of Egypt,
the house of Jacob from a people of strange speech,
Judah became God's sanctuary,
and Israel his domain.
The sea beheld and fled.
Jordan turned and went back.
The mountains skipped like rams,
and the little hills like young sheep.
What ailed you, O sea, that you fled?
O Jordan, that you turned back.
You mountains, that you skipped like rams?
You little hills like young sheep.
Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord.
At the presence of the God of Jacob.
Who turned the hard rock into a pool of water,
and flint stone into a flowing spring.
A reading from Romans 14:1-12. Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat, for God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on servants of another? It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall, and they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Some judge one day to be the better than another, while others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Those who observe the day, observe it in honor of the Lord. Also, those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God, while those who abstain, abstain in honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For this end Christ died and lived again, so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Or you, why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then, each of us will be accountable to God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Peter came and said to Jesus, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as 7 times?" Jesus said to him, "Not 7 times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him by the throat, he said, 'Pay what you owe.' Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." The Gospel of the Lord. Have you ever had a mystical experience? Some kind of moment of transcendence that goes beyond anything in your normal workaday life? A recent Pew survey showed that almost half of the people surveyed, 49%, said they have had that kind of experience. That's what we come to church for, I think. That's what we form a community of trust for. There are a whole lot of things to love about church, the community, not to mention church, the extraordinary building on 2nd Street. But sometimes those things can distract us from that purpose, which is an encounter with God, which is entering into the mystical, revelatory, divine one who has made us and is offering us the peace which passes all understanding and transforms the world. Theophany is what theologians call it. And some of my friends think that's a myth. They think that church and all religion is really just some quaint little confection, some kind of rock candy for the naive or the ignorant or the fearful. Some of them think that religion is a kind of morality police. And that's sad because People are encountering God right now. People are experiencing the divine and seeking to have more mystical experiences. People are discovering God, revealing God's own self every day and hungering for more of those encounters. And that's what we're doing together as a church community. That's why we pay the bills and sweep the floors. It's to support the religious practices that can bring us and our neighbors closer to the divine presence. It doesn't always happen in church, of course. A lot of people have mystical experiences in nature or on the bus or at home. But when people want again to encounter that thin place, when they're seeking God, they often come to us. They often come to a religious community, and what we have to give them is companionship on that journey and also our practices, the worship services and the prayer circles and the acts of mercy and the sacred stories of our own encounters and our ancestors' encounters with God, and the stillness and the silence that doesn't really happen very many places anymore except in church. That's what we have to offer. In today's gospel, Jesus is telling Peter that of all of those practices that we use to cultivate and grow in our receptiveness to God, in all of those practices, the one we need the most is forgiveness. We need more practice forgiving than anything else. Not just 7 times, not just every day of the week, but 77 times or 70 times 7, depending on how you translate it. To seek and encounter the divine as a way of life, forgiveness also has to be a way of life. Forgiveness is a way of freedom. Salvation is liberation. And the unforgiving life is a life in chains to frustration and resentment and misunderstanding. To cling to our grievances is to become their prisoner and ultimately their victim. And if you wonder whether that's true, you can look around you and see it in the news and in the world. That old saying, holding a grudge is like drinking poison and expecting someone else to die. That's what holding on to our grievances rather than forgiving them is like. Forgiveness is the antivenin to that. In today's Hebrew scripture and in Matthew's gospel, we can see in these sacred stories that chasing an enemy into the sea or fixating on the debts of our neighbors is a way of death. Paul wrote about this to the Romans. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Or why do you despise your brother or sister? Paul tells the Romans that our brothers and sisters are in God's hand and God welcomes them. So where do we want to be? In the old days, they imagined that God was meting out punishments and rewards like B.F. Skinner in the sky. But that isn't how I imagine God revealing God's own truth. Not by smiting this and prizing that. The truth is that God's forgiveness isn't transactional. It isn't a reward for repentance or apology. It's a choice. The kind of forgiveness that Jesus is calling us to have is a choice. It's the choice that an aggrieved person can make to free herself from the grip of an oppressor and the resentment that an oppressor can plant into her heart or his heart. Transgressors have zero power when it comes to forgiveness. It is only the oppressed who have the power. The first shall be last when it comes to forgiveness. Forgiveness can be a choice that an oppressor would make. To free oneself from enmity is to be freed from slavery, but that too requires forgiveness.
Oppression, like resentment, is toxic for everybody. That's not punishment or reward from some judge in the sky. That's just natural consequences. That's truth. Exploitation systems often lead people into the foolish belief that some short-term gain can be had at the expense of somebody else. But in the long term, in God's time, all systems of exploitation harm the exploiters. The ones who escape are the ones who can forgive. And often the ones who can forgive are the ones who live at the margins, who have the most to forgive. They're the ones who can see the cost of exploitation. Sometimes not. Sometimes we see cycles of abuse. The Israelites, for example, go on to become like the Pharaoh they escaped from. They start desiring to have full bellies and to elevate kings to rule them instead of God ruling them. And this is why Jesus preaches that forgiveness beyond all measure is the key. This is what Jesus lives into. Jesus goes to death on the cross instead of fighting the Roman Empire because forgiveness beyond all measure is the way of freedom, the way of salvation. Nadia Bolz-Weber says, "The God we're dealing with would rather die on a cross than be in the sin accounting business anymore." Forgiveness is the way forward. We tell the old stories and we look for ourselves in them because we encounter the divine in truth. In community, we do that because every one of us holds a little bit of the truth and none of us has it all. But life in community necessitates forgiveness. So, our work for this interim, for the 2 years that I will be in this community serving you as your interim rector, is to tell the old stories of St. Luke's, the good ones and the bad ones, and to look for the divine in those stories, and look for ourselves in those stories, and look for the patterns in those stories. And also to look for God's saving grace here and now in this interim time. And when we've done all that, then we can start imagining who God is calling St. Luke's to be and what kind of forgivers you want to be with your next rector. Pandemic is going to slow down the process as it has slowed down every other thing in our lives. But as we say in Godly Play, God is in this place too. The slowness isn't a loss, it's a gift. The shalom of God is within you. Thanks be to God.
Let us say together the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit. He became incarnate from the Virgin Mary. He was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one Holy, Catholic, and Apostolic Church. we acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
With all our heart and mind, let us pray to God, saying, hear our prayer. Let us pray for God's people across the world, God of love.
Hear our prayer.
Let us pray for the earth that we may her treat her gently, God of love.
Hear our prayer.
Let us pray for our families, our friends, and our neighbors, God of love.
Hear our prayer.
Let us pray for those who are scared, sad, or scared, or are suffering, God of love.
Hear our prayer.
Let us pray for those who have died, God of love.
Hear our prayer. We pray especially for Bob and for Jim, and we pray for the repose of their souls. We pray for Marilyn and Katie and their families, this time of sadness. We pray for Jim and Cass and for John. Who is on your heart this morning? Oh God, accept the fervent prayers of your people and the multitude of your mercies. Look with compassion upon us and all who turn to you for help, for you are gracious, O lover of souls. And to you we give glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen.
Prayer for Mission. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of your faithful people is governed and sanctified, receive our supplications and prayers which we offer before you for all members of your holy church, that in their vocation and ministry they may truly and devoutly serve you, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Glory to God, whose power is working in us, can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to him from generation to generation in the church, and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen.